Okay, I don't need to talk right now. I'm good. I'm good. Holy moly. So here we are, the last talk of the month, the last talk of the theme, Attitude of Gratitude. And the talk title, Thanks for All the Fish. It was the message left by the dolphins when they departed planet Earth just before it was demolished to make way for the hyperspace bypass in the book, right, that we all know, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. If you're a science fiction fan, you know this, right? So, and Thanks for All the Fish is also the title of the fourth book in that series by Douglas Adams. So what on earth do you think, you know, you might be asking, has that to do with gratitude? Well, the simple thing on the surface, right, the simple thanks for all the fish by the dolphins is that expression of gratitude, right? It's thanks. It's we receive something, we get something we like, and we say thank you for it, you know? We've been taught this over and over and over and over, right? When we were little kids, when we received something, we were said, say thank you, and we said, thank you. And this was an expression of gratitude, pure and simple. Get something we like, we say thank you. So gratitude is not withheld, it's not reserved for those big, gigantic, you know, acts of miraculous events in our lives. It's for the little things too. It's just the little everyday things. We are grateful for the small, everyday things, like fish. You know, it was food, it was nourishment for the dolphins, you know, give us this day our daily fish. You know, it was a simple expression of gratitude. So it's not reserved for just the gigantic, you know, miracles in our lives. Gratitude is, it covers all of life. It covers all of life. It is a state of being. Think of gratitude as a state of being, not an event caused by a thing. Gratitude is just a state of being. You know, there is a quote that is often attributed to Albert Einstein, although I could not find any proof that he ever said it. And I looked. I really looked. But I found no substantial evidence of proof that he ever said it. But the quote is, and I'm sure you'll recognize it, that there are only two ways to live our life. One as though nothing is a miracle. The other as though everything is a miracle. And you see it on the internet all the time, and they attribute it to Einstein, but I don't think he ever said it. I could never ever cite it or prove it. There was one book that was written in 1942 where somebody said something, quoting it to him in a third party, and it said sort of sounded something like that, but not really. That's as close as I could ever get. But anyway, it doesn't make a difference whether Albert Einstein said it or not. The fact is we recognize it as truth. We recognize that it is truth. Either we live our lives as everything is a miracle or nothing is a miracle. And the fact is, life itself is a miracle. Life itself is a miracle. And miracles occur, you know, miracles are everyday occurrences. Just life itself, just getting up on the planet, just breathing, just being alive itself is a miracle. Now, Emerson said, and he really did say this, Emerson said, there is no great and no small to the soul that maketh all, and where it cometh all things are, and it cometh everywhere. And so that is just so beautiful, you know. And yes, he actually wrote those words in essays in, I think it was 1841. So this idea that everything, it cometh everywhere. There is no place spirit is not. There is no place spirit is absent. So everything is a miracle. Everything around us is a miracle. How can we not be grateful for all of it? You know, we have to mature beyond this idea that we're grateful only when we get something. You know, that's the childlike idea that we got when we were little, of course. You know, what do you say, Billy? Thank you, Mrs. Smith. Good boy, here's your fish. You know, I mean, it's like... That's okay, but we need to get beyond that idea that gratitude is simply something we express for when we get something. We have to develop gratitude as the energy that we exist in, The energy that we surround ourselves with has to be the energy of gratitude. We have to immerse ourselves in it. When we walk through our day, we have to walk through. We have to think, we have to give thanks for what we have, and what we have will be quite enough. You know, when we're always thankful for what we have is quite enough. Gratitude for what we receive is only part of it. You know, it's only part of it. When we are grateful when we get things we like or we want, when we're grateful when things go our way, when we're only grateful when the conditions are the ones that we that are acceptable to us, that's conditional gratitude, right? When we're only grateful when stuff is going the way we want it to, it's conditional gratitude. And like conditional love, it's born of the ego. I like you, I love you, as long as you're doing shit my way. Oh, stuff my way. I'm sorry. Holy moly. When we are dependent upon people's behavior to love them, that's conditional love. Same thing with gratitude. When I get the stuff I want, then I'll be grateful. But that's not the way to live our lives. This is like from the outside in, right? When we're the stuff outside is okay with us, then we're going to respond appropriately. But that's not the way life works. Life is from the inside out. Because what happens when the unexpected happens? What happens when we lose a job? What happens when we develop an illness? Or what happens when we lose a loved one? You know, if we're not prayed up, if we're not immersed in that sense of gratitude and wonder and love for all of life, if that is not our attitude, we lose our way. We lose our way. It's really easy to fall away from what we know is true when we're not prayed up. You know, when we're not immersed in gratitude, when that's not our fallback position, when we're not always just immersed in love and gratitude, when something unexpected happens, we just totally fall off the rails, don't we? You know, and that's not the time to start your spiritual practice. That is not, you know, then it's already too late. You know, it's like sewing the parachute together as you're falling out the plane. You know, it's a little late to the game at that point. You know, if we only pray and meditate and center ourselves when things have gone to hell, you know, we're starting from behind. You know, and I think that it was Emma Curtis Hopkins, although I couldn't find this either, it was a bad week for quotes, that said something to the effect of, we don't get what we pray for, we get what we pray from. So you kind of get that, right? If you're praying from that sense of desperation and panic, you kind of get more of the same. You know, desperation and panic, which is really not where you want to go with your prayer practice and your meditative practice. You want to be prayed up. You want to have your prayer bank full. So when the unexpected happens, we can pull on those reserves. Does that make sense? And we can stay centered instead of falling apart and blaming others and or saying this teaching doesn't work. There's a lot of that, right? You know, this stuff doesn't work because such and such happened. You know, instead of doing that, we turn to those reserves. We turn to the prayer bank and we make a withdrawal. And so that when we're prayed up, we can see all things through the lens of gratitude. Regardless of the conditions, we get a handle on our emotions, we stand in the truth, regardless of the conditions, and here's our opportunity to prove the principles. Here's where we have another opportunity to prove the principles, because life looks anything other than what I thought it was going to be, or conditions are so much different than what I was, you know, desiring. Here is my opportunity to prove the principles. When we're prayed up, we can keep that vibration high no matter what is going on in the world of conditions. We are not swayed by them. You know, when Jesus talked about, you know, not seeing the conditions, not judging by appearances, that's what we're talking about. Knowing the truth in spite of the conditions. We don't let the outside dictate how we're going to feel about the condition. We allow the inner, the truth of who we are, that seed of perfection within us, we allow it to dictate how we see the world, how we see the condition. You know, to allow the condition to manipulate us and to inform us how we should be feeling about something is like combing the mirror. You know, once again, you know, you look in there, you're like, oh, this needs work, you know. It's not gonna change anything, you know. We try to fix things on the outside. We're just swapping one condition for another condition. Does that make sense? It doesn't fix anything. We're just shuffling things around at the physical level of the condition. So that idea of, you know, I don't get what I pray for, but I get what I pray from, that's, you're reacting to the conditions is getting what you're praying from. You're getting that desperation thing. You know, you're getting that, oh, I'm gonna swap this for that. But it's not going to the truth, you know? It's not going to the truth. We need to stand in the truth of our belief and prove the principles in spite of what it looks like. It can look totally opposite of what we're desiring and what we know is the truth for us. And we stand in that, and then we allow that to change the conditions around us. That's why it's so important to keep our mind up on the highest and best, the highest and best good that we can embody. This is why we dwell in gratitude. This is why we dwell in love and in joy and in gratitude for everything and anything, because it raises us up. It raises our vibration up, and then we just go around in life, you know? We're just going around immersed in the attitude of gratitude, in the idea of love and joy. And then we allow that to change the conditions around us. James in the Bible, James 4:3 says, "You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." Ooh, isn't that exciting? Love that. Okay, so what they're saying is that we ask or we pray and receive not because we ask amiss. It's because we're not in alignment with our highest and best good. That's all it means. We're not in alignment with our highest and best good. When we pray in alignment with that, what are the qualities of God? Love and joy and peace. When we pray that, we are in alignment with our highest and best good. We don't pray for our team to beat their team. Okay? All you sports people out there. We don't pray, you know, to get something at the expense of someone else. We don't pray for vengeance, you know, to smite somebody. That's not in alignment with the highest and best. That's not in alignment with the qualities of God. That's not praying, well, that's praying amiss. And that's what that quote means. When we are in alignment with the highest and best good, it is our good and it hurts no one else. We pray the highest and best and there is no harm to others, and no one else is less because we are praying more or greater or larger demonstration. You know, it's kind of like the Hippocratic Oath for prayers. First, do no harm, you know. We pray the highest and best good in alignment with the principles that we know are truth. And when we are surrounded in that attitude of gratitude, we're always praying aright. As Ernest Holmes said, we're always praying right. Because in that attitude of gratitude, we want good and more good for ourselves and everyone else. There is no me at the expense of you. There is enough good to go around all the time. So our prayer is one of abundance. Our prayer is one of joy, of love, our countenance. You know, the very energy that we carry around with ourselves is one of joy and love and abundance and gratitude. You know, so when we're in that, so when we're surrounded with that bubble of gratitude, everything, we see everything is good. Everything is a gift. We recognize the everyday events of life as miracles, each and every one of them. Each and every one of them. We're awed by the beauty of nature, aren't we? We're astounded by the diversity of all life. We are amazed by the love that is expressing all around us. We're focused on all of that good, and that's all we see. And then we see more of it, and then we see more of it. We see good and more good everywhere. And the more we are grateful, the more things we find around us, in our environment, in our life, in our world, to be grateful for. Ernest Holmes said, God has been called by a thousand names, but you and I are to think of God as life, the presence and the power in everything, which makes everything what it is. So the very ground we walk on is holy ground. It's the body of God. Everything, all of life, is spirit expressing. So let's go back to the fish, right? Not those fish, the other fish, the loaves and the fishes. So here we have that story that was in Matthew, it was in Luke, it was in John. It was a pretty popular story. Everybody was telling the story about the loaves and the fishes. And each one of those stories pretty much said the same thing. Oh, the facts were really, really close in all of them. Jesus is addressing a hillside of 5,000 people, right? And the disciples, he tells the disciples to distribute the food that they had to feed them. And the food that they had was 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And the disciples tell him, baby, that's not happening, you know. There won't be enough. It won't be enough. And lo and behold, of course, you know, at the end of the day, it was more than enough. And when they were gathering up the leftovers that had been left behind, they had 12 baskets of pieces of food. So how about that? How about that? Was that a miracle? I mean, you know, in the sense of the word, was that a miracle? I guess. If all life is a miracle, right? If what we're saying is all of life is a miracle, of course it was a miracle. Of course it was. How do you feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Now, what I can tell you as a mom is that you never went anywhere without bringing snacks. You just don't. You just don't leave the house without a bag of snacks. So I can see 5,000 people on that hillside with their own little snack, you know, sack of food, right? In addition to what was there. And so they took some, they added some, and at the end of the day, there was leftovers. Of course there were. Of course there were. And is that a miracle? Absolutely. It's still a miracle. Because people took care of each other. People passed along their good. They shared it. Of course it is. All of life is a miracle. That's the thing. That's the whole key to all of this. That's why we can walk around in gratitude all the time, because life is so precious. It is a miracle to be alive. It is a miracle to wake up in the morning. It is a miracle to be able to smile, you know? Miracles are those million little things that we are grateful for that all add up to the big miracle, which is our life. Which is our life, you know? I'm reminded of that Rodgers and Hammerstein song, but I am not gonna sing it. I know some of you out there know all the words. I can't. I just can't. I don't have it. I'm a shower singer. 100 million miracles, right, from the flower drum song. Are you familiar with that? I'll just read you the lyrics. I swear, I'm not going to sing them. The 100 million miracles are happening every day, and those who say they don't agree are those who do not hear or see. What a lovely expression. It is just for us to awaken. It is for us to see, to hear and see. And that is our practice, to be conscious of every miracle in every day, to be conscious with the sense of gratitude, how grateful I am. You know, the purpose of life is to live it. You know, the purpose of life is to live it. We keep going back to that. Why am I here? And what's it all about? And what's the point? And yada, yada. And what's the meaning of life? And, you know, The best description I had was Kurt Vonnegut once said, you know, the whole purpose of life is to fart around, that's it. If anybody else tells you different, they don't know what they're talking about. And I really think that that's probably it. You know, we're here to experience. We're here to experience, and we're here to express, we're here to have a good time, and we're here to love every single aspect of it. Our soul is looking for that expansive experience of all life. Our soul is here to express. Our soul is here for connection. It's not ranking and rating and judging things as good or bad. It simply wants the experience of life. So we are here to experience it. So be comfortable with change, because you know that's happening. Change is always happening. We have to embrace change. We have to embrace life. We have to embrace the highs and the lows. All of it is happening. Life is like this, and then life is like that, and then life is like something else. All things keep happening, right? They keep happening and they keep changing. And we ride those waves. But we ride them in gratitude, in love, and in joy. Ernest Holmes, in 10 Ideas That Make a Difference, he said, every manifestation of faith through prayer, every wonder and sign which has followed the devotional life has been an inevitable result of some hidden cause set in motion by this life principle. Every longing, every yearning we have ever had, every secret desire of our soul, and every constructive ambition we have had is but a whispering of this power, assuring us that we are one with it. We are the manifestation or the personification of it. We are a center in it. We are that. Like Paul said in the beautiful prayer this morning, he said, we are an activity of God. Our life is an activity of God, nothing else. We are 100% spirit. Our lives are to be lived and loved in gratitude, just in gratitude. And we have to start now, right where we are. Be conscious, be so aware of all the gifts that have already been given. Our life is a miracle. And it is for us to be grateful for each and everything, you know? So, yeah, we have to be grateful for all the fish. You know how many different kinds of fish there are out there? I can't even begin. Start now, right? You know the whole plant a tree thing? Start now. Plant a tree. Be mindful in every moment. Stay present in the moment and look at the gifts and the beauty around us every single moment. Be aware in every single moment how amazing life is. It is a crazy, amazing, wild adventure. Be aware in that moment. Look at the colors, you know? Look at the difference in flowers. Really, really see the difference in things. Oh my gosh, I just be amazed by color itself. Be amazed by the different scents that there are in the air. The smell of cookies. Oh, I was baking pies this week. Vanilla. Oh, I love vanilla. Okay. Be amazed and captivated by the different scents. I mean, just allow yourself to indulge, you know, to indulge those senses. Feel the texture of life all around you. Just feel that texture. In everything, be grateful. In everything, be grateful. Even when we don't think there is anything to be grateful for, which is, right, that is the most challenging part. When we're being challenged and we don't feel like there's anything to be grateful for in this moment, when absolutely nothing has gone our way, start with the breath. Start with the breath. I'm grateful for this breath right here in this moment. I am grateful for the breath. I'm grateful for being alive. I'm grateful for ears that hear. I am grateful for eyes that see. I am grateful for fingers that touch. I am grateful. I am grateful I have feet to walk on. I am grateful I have a back that holds me up. I am grateful I have legs to carry me forward. What else can you be grateful for? Can you be grateful for 3 things a day? Different things. Don't make them the same things every day. I love my house. I love my husband. No. Just do different things every day. You know what? And when you wake up in the morning, I do this a lot because my dog wakes me up really early. Before I get out of bed, I start with my toes and just am grateful for my whole body all the way up. You know, you want your body to be healthy and strong and last a lifetime? Be grateful. Give it attention. Give it love. Give it devotion. Start being grateful for your toes and your toenails and work your way up to your scalp and be grateful for every single little part because it's all doing a job for you to be on the earth, right? So start with that, you know? Be grateful for at least 3 different things every day, maybe in the morning and every evening. Bookend your day in gratitude. And when you forget, when life, you know how it does have a tend to toddle off and it gives you the unexpected stuff, then you just go back to your gratitude practice. There's something right in this moment to be grateful for. And maybe you don't even know what it is, but then go back to the breath. Open your eyes in the morning and be grateful for life. Be grateful that you opened your eyes in the morning. And start there. Just start with life itself. And know that you are an activity that God is having. That is the one and only truth about you. That you are 100% spirit and you are simply an activity that God is having. And be grateful for it. Be grateful for life. Be grateful for your whole body. Be grateful for whatever situation you find yourself in. Be grateful for your comfy bed. Be grateful there's a roof over your head. Be grateful for breakfast. You can go throughout your day and be grateful for everything. And especially be grateful for all the fish. Thank you so much.